The word is life changing. And that's why I love it. It's life changing. Glory to God. Well, I give you time to go ahead and give. So spontaneous giving. Systematic sowing. I received order. All right. $50 special seed there. I receive it. See, you got to be sowing to your debt cancellation. These people sow. You got to sow, man. Dad said we got to come up higher. We got to come up higher so we see what God is doing. I received order. Hallelujah. I received tongues. Boy, I tell you, you rolling, brother. It's a $100 seed. And their wife, boy, they inside their heart, they ain't playing. They going after something. I receive. Hallelujah. I receive. $100. All right. I received. See, here no how. I receive. We give you time to get here. We've been teaching you and sharing with you about, I need you to catch this, man, because this is, God is preparing us. God is preparing us and setting us in position for the end time, for the coming of the Messiah, the second coming of the Lord Jesus. We're on, I don't know when he's coming, what specific date or what specific year God is going to come, but he's coming. He's going to return. And God has positioned us in this season of ministry and in our lives to be preparers of his second coming. Preparers of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And so, therefore, there's going to be a great move of the church. A great move of the church. How do you know that, Pastor? Because of Scripture. Because of Scripture, because of the book of Revelation and other books of the Bible that gives clear prophecy in Revelation of the second coming of the Lord and those signs of what they're going to be. Here's something the Lord Jesus says. It says wherever, Paul the apostle said this to the Roman church, he said, wherever sin abound, grace shall abound even more so. So, the darker this world get in rebellion and sin, the more the light on the church is going to shine.
Yes.
The darker it get on the world and sinners, the brighter the light is going to shine on the church. So grace is going to abound more so on us in the darker the hour get. It's the grace of God. We have to know that God is not going to abandon the church in this dark hour that's getting ready to come on the earth in our nations. But God is going to stand with the righteous. He's going to stand with his sons and his daughters. And we're going to see the grace of God abound so much stronger in this end time. So what I'm preparing you for in this teaching, in this training, is to think like God. To think like God. In every essence, in every situation of your life, you're going to have to train yourself to think like God. You got to train yourself to do this. How do I do that, Pastor? Spending time in the Word. Spending time in your prayer closet. Spending time at your local church. Spending time in those Bible studies and Bible training so I can think and operate just like God. Just like God. So you can get ready for that. But it's in time coming, man and woman of God, that you're going to have to know God. You got to know God and how to operate just like him. Because none of us are exempted from tests or trials. None of us are. I don't care how much you speak in tongues, how many hours you pray a day, how much money you got. Tests and trials and temptations are going to come your way. And if you can't think like God and operate like God, you're going to fall for all of them. You're going to constantly fall for the traps and the snares of the devil. I said to the church earlier this morning, we're in a real battle. We're in a real battle. Some people are still playing with life, playing with church, playing with Christianity, but we're in a real spiritual warfare with a real devil who don't mind hurting you at any cost. Don't mind stopping you or dishonoring you or blackballing you or either really just taking you clean out. He don't care. You give him opportunity through ignorance, you're going to die before your time. You will die before your time. And it's not God. Everybody think everybody that died, God doing it. God ain't taking everybody. The devil is taking a lot of folks out of here. He's taking a lot of folks out of here through the spirit of ignorance. Through the spirit of ignorance. And I tell you what, man, we have a lot of it. A lot of this going on in this world system. But thank God to be saved. Amen? Amen. Thank God I'm saved. So everything I've been teaching you the last two Sundays and Mondays dealing with thinking like God has brought us to this third point, called supernatural transformation. It's called supernatural transformation. And you gotta really hear this and really open your heart up to this, because of fact, you have to see this only by way of the Spirit. You can't see this by logic. You can't see this by logic. You can't see this by psychology. You can only see this by revelation. Your position in God. You can only see your position in God by revelation. Some way you can do it. If you try to see yourself through the natural eyes of your understanding, you're going to miss the whole thing. You're going to miss the whole thing. That's why you got to abound in the word, be filled with the Spirit of God, pray in the Holy Ghost, so your spiritual eyes can stay awakened or open to revelation. See the reality of what's real. To see the reality of what's real. There's so much false stuff going on in the world system that if you get caught up in it, you can't see God. You can't see God. So we're dealing with supernatural transformation. Transformed means to leave one form and to come into another by process of change, process of maturing. We are transformed from one state to another, from one state to another. And we'll talk about that and give you more insight upon that through the scripture. If you open your Bibles and look with me in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 through verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 through verse 15. If you don't have a Bible, we'll make sure we get it on the screen for you. It's King James Version. The Apostle Paul to the church of Colossians, he writes this to the church. He's telling the church to be strengthened. He's talking to believers. He's saying that you're being strengthened. That you're being strengthened with all might. Strengthened with all might. Available power. Available authority. You've been strengthened with all might. All the resources of heaven. God backing you up. You're having divine, godly backup. It's what he's saying. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. To know that God, and to know that you have God, kingdom backup. You got God backup. God is backing me up. Paul tells me to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Other words, he's saying God cannot fail. We talked about Exodus 23. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Have he not sworn, would it not make it good? Have not promised, would not have bring it to pass? So you got to understand that God cannot lie. Whatever God has told you through his word, he is going to fulfill it. He is going to bring it to pass. Whatever God has spoken to you as a covenant, blessings, he's got to bring it to pass. So Paul says that God will strengthen you with all might according to his glorious power. We're headed somewhere. Stay with the scripture. Look what he says. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Here, now God is challenging me. He's going to strengthen me with all might according to the glorious power. Then it says, unto all patience. Look at your neighbor and say, we need some patience. Because every one of us in here wanted yesterday. We want change right now. Whether it's from a husband or a wife or children or a job situation, a job promotion, or our money change, we want it right now. We want it right now. Absolutely. We want instant gratification. You know, there was a time we used to soak red beans before you cook them. Now they go get them already pre-cooked in a can. You didn't think your wife done slayed all day? Ain't about a warm-up. Look at that. That's why I get that meat and seed. All of them doing it. All of them doing it. Hey. Why? Because we want stuff right now. We want it right now. We want it right now. But in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, you must understand that everything that God's going to give you is going to come through a process. Everything that God has for you is going to come with a process. God is not going to give you something instant. He always gives it to you with a process. Why do he choose that way? He chooses that way to teach us how to experience him. How to experience him, to come to know him and to trust him as our source. As our supplier, as our peace, as our joy. The only way we can experience God, God got to take us through a process. He cannot just give it to us instant every time we ask for it. Then we'll never know him. We'll be nothing but crybabies. And all he's doing is putting a pacifier in our mouth every time we cry. He said, no, I want you to grow up. I want you to mature. I want you to know how to stand and trust me. In the midst of adversities, in the midst of trials and temptations, you're going to have to know me. You're going to know me. So Paul says he's going to strengthen me with all might according to the glorious power unto all patience and long suffering. with all patience and long suffering. Then he goes on to say, with joyfulness. With joyfulness. God says, whatever you're facing, you need to go through it with joy. Because I'm going to strengthen you with all might, according to my glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. So you're telling me, Pastor, I got 20 bills of responsibilities, finances are piling up against me, and you're telling me I got to go through it with joy? Yes, ma'am. How do you do that one? No, the songwriter once said, you got to learn to say hallelujah in there, huh? That when you're facing adversities, when you're facing marital problems, when you're facing financial situation, you're dealing with trouble with troubled teens or whatever you're dealing with, God says you got to go through this with joyfulness. Why? Because I'm taking you through something to bring you to something. I'm taking you from something to bring you to something. So you're going to learn how to give thanks in all things, for it's the will of God in Christ Jesus. You got to learn to go through it. Well, it hurts, Pastor. Yes, it hurts your emotions. It hurts your feelings because you're going through what you got to go through. But God says, learn the attitude of joyfulness. When you learn to be patient and long suffering. It may take a month. It may take 6 months. It may take 2 years. But God said, whatever you got to go through it with joy. Learn how to lift your hands up and praise me, even though the mountain is still there. Praise me anyhow. You done spoke to the mountain. You told the mountain to go according to Mark 11, 22. You done spoke to it. You said, mountain be thou removed in the name of Jesus. But you woke up this morning and the mountain's still there. God say, praise me in the house. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I thought my wife was going to be changed when I got up this morning. Praise you, Lord. She hadn't changed. Glory to God. I've been praying for him to get set free from drinking and smoking. And I woke up this morning, I smell smoke. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, how you do that? Look at the neighbor and say, he's training me. He's training me how to go through with patience and long suffering, which means long suffering means to endure with patience, so I won't get up off into my emotion realm or my feelings realm and start doing stuff out of my flesh, trying to fix my situation myself. Because the more I operate in my flesh and my own ability, I prolong the will of God. You prolong the will of God. So God says you're going to need patience and long suffering so you can go through this thing with joyfulness. Number 12, verse 12 says, give thanks unto the Father. See, there it is. Which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Very important statement. Don't sound like much. Very important. He says, you got to learn to give thanks to the Father. Which have made us meet are compatible, are able to become partakers with all the saints. Partakers of our inheritance of the saints in light. What's going to happen? If you go back and study the saints, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you go back and start studying all the saints, Job, you study those guys, you'll find that all of them had to have patience, long-suffering, going through what they went through. But if you look at the end result, because they was patient, because they were long-suffering, because they knew how to give thanks, because they knew how to give praise, when they came out of their situation, they always came out on top. Amen. They was better off at the end of it than they was at the beginning of it. Because God cannot increase you unless you go through the enemy's camp and take the spoil. God cannot increase you unless you endure with long-suffering and patience, endure some things and love God and give him praise while you're going through, because that's where you get your stuff. Okay, you don't believe me. What's 2 Chronicles? Look at 2 Chronicles. Thanks, Holy Spirit. I'm trying to take you somewhere. I'm trying to get this other verse. That's really where I want to go. But y'all pulling too hard. Y'all pulling so hard. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Here in 2 Chronicles 20, King Jehoshaphat is faced with a situation where he has several armies coming up against him. He's outmanned. Listen to me. He's outmanned. He's outarmed because these different nations don't like Israel. Okay? They're coming up against him to wipe him out. To wipe him out. Now, he don't know what to do. So God sends him a prophet. And the prophet gives him divine instructions. And tells him what he's supposed to do. He received the instructions of the prophet from the Lord that says, this battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. You will not have need to fight in this battle. So set yourself to see the salvation of God. Hold on a second, God. This thing I'm in now is real. You talking to me. Supernaturally, you're talking to me, but I'm facing a real army. Three armies are coming up against me to wipe me out. And you telling me by way of the Spirit, through your prophet, through your man of God, I don't have to fight these people? All I got to do is sit still and you're going to take care of this? I'm outgunned, I'm outmanned, I'm military, they're more than us. These people are going to wipe us out. How are you going to do this? He said, this is what we're going to do. He said, go get your praise singers. Go get those folks who know how to do what I just told you, know how to give thanks. Get the folks who know how to praise me. He said, tomorrow, I want you to go down where that valley is tomorrow, but I want you to send appraisers first. And I want them praising me. I want them glorifying my name. And he says, I'm going to handle this for you. So the king rose up that morning in 2020. He said, listen, guys, this is what we're going to do. We're going to trust God. And God's going to establish us. I mean, make us safe, make us a name, put us in a safety place. Then he says, we're going to believe the prophet. Because by believing the prophet, we're going to prosper. Now listen, he says, God is going to make me safe, establish my house, put me in a place I can't be moved, nor destroyed, where nothing can be taken from me, established. Then he's going to prosper me. Two things he's going to do. Establish me, and prosper me. Well, how are you going to do that, God? Just do what I tell you to do. Look at your neighbor and say, just do what the man tell you to do. See, what's happened is your mind been talked, the mind of reasoning keeps showing up in logic that keeps you fighting God. That's why when God tells you something, you procrastinate. You have insecurities about what God told you to do because you haven't been through enough warfare to know his voice. See, if you go through enough warfares with him, you're going to know him. When he's speaking in the midnight hour, when he's speaking quietly to you, you're going to know the voice of God. You're going to recognize. Why? I've been here before. I've been here before. Now watch what happened. Now they get up that morning and they begin to go out to battle. The musicians and the praise singers, they're going out just singing, going down the valley, not realizing, not even thinking about we're going to get killed. They weren't even thinking about that. We're going to war, man. Got three big old armies out here. The Bible says while they was praising and worshiping on the way, the Bible says God caused an ambush to take place. When the sun came up, they start fighting each other. The Bible says God will cause your enemy to come into a place called derision, confusion. The very folks who meant to hurt you, God said, I'll make them confused. So God is now causing these three armies to start fighting each other. And the Bible said they fought until they killed every man. And the children just come on the road just singing. Our God is an awesome God. He reigned from heaven above. They singing, they praising God, they're worshiping God. And all of a sudden, when they got to the battlefield, they looked down the field and everybody was dead. There was nobody to fight. There was nobody to fight. The Bible says, when they walked among the dead bodies, they began to realize these people bought all their money to fight. Silver and gold, diamond rings, rubies, gold chain on their neck. They said, hold on a second. God said he's going to establish me and prosper me. He made me safe where I can't be destroyed or moved. Three armies tried to take me out. Nobody couldn't take me out. He established me so I couldn't be moved or have anything taken from me. That's established. Then he said he's going to prosper me. And the Bible says it took them 3 days to get all the spoil out of the field. 3 days. Can you imagine somebody let you in the bank vault? Load it. And just say you got 3 days. Take all you can take. Just don't bring your cousin, but you can take all you can take. But that's what God was telling them. That's what God did for them. That's what God did for them. 3 days. They took the silver and the gold, the diamond, the rubies, everything that people had. They took all of it back to their camp. But it took them 3 days to do it. Because they learned a principle. How to trust God and do what he told you to do. Trust him and just do what he tell you to do. It may not make no sense to you whatsoever in the world, but just do what he told you to do. God, my kidney's acting up. Go get your teaspoon of water. That don't make sense. But that's divine instructions. You just got to learn how to do what he tells you to do. So to move to the point, I'm talking about supernatural transformation. I'm trying to get us there. See, that was supernatural. It was supernatural. They went from defeat to total victory.
Yes.
They went from poverty to prosperity all of a sudden. They was transformed or translated to a whole different dimension just by obedience. The key to transformation is your obedience. That's the key to everything God does, is your obedience. Why I don't have my money yet? As of now? Because I wasn't obedient. I've been fighting God all these years through religion. Resisting God through religion. That's the reason why we're not there yet. Because of disobedience. We're trying to figure out our own, on our own way, and make it work our own way. Now, there's no perfect marriage, but there's some very good marriages that people have come a long way in, and people have learned how to walk in this thing and obey God and spend 50 and 60 years together because they learned some keys. Well, you can have the same thing. You can do the same thing. You got to learn how to do it and obey what God says. And obey what God says. Now, go back to where we were, our foundation scripture. I just took you on that little journey. I wanted to show it to you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, verse 15. I'm going to read through this one, trying to get through it. He says in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Other words, he says, watch what the saints went through, how the saints endured, how there was long suffering, and you would have the same outcome. So you know what? Your little bills is nothing. Little bills you got is nothing compared to three military armies coming to destroy you. Well, Pastor, my marriage is so bad. My marriage is so terrible. I don't know what I'm going to do with him. I don't know what I'm going to do with her. It's not even compared to a den of lions. Pastor, it just fired me yesterday, and that's not compared, nothing compared to a furnace full of fire heated seven times. He said, look at their victories. Look what they went through. He said, it'll make you partakers with them. Here's what we don't understand. There's a bandstand in heaven. There's a bandstand, a balcony in heaven, where the spirits of saints abound. Where the souls of saints are abounding, where Paul and Peter and James and Moses and all these guys are there, Elijah, all of them are there, and they're standing over the balcony of heaven looking down at us and saying, you can do it. I did it, you can do it. I made it, you can make it. As he is with me, he's going to be with you. And every time one of us quit, they said, God dog it, what's wrong with him? All you got to do is read my story. They're up in heaven cheering us on, telling us we can make it, we can endure it, because they want us to be partakers with them. I was telling the church the other day, man, when I get to heaven, after meeting Jesus and talking to the Father, I'm going to see Paul. I just got to sit down and talk to him. I got to talk to, man, this guy is outstanding as a son of the Most High God. He was about 5'4", 5'4", 5'6", and he had a hump in his back, and he walked over like that. That's how he was walking. But he was dynamite. He didn't back down from no man, no devil, no situation. He said, God has made me more than a conqueror, and no weapon formed against me going to prosper. And devil, you want to fight, bring it on. That's the way he stood. That's the way he stood. And that's the way you and I got to stand. When you're facing adversity, you're facing circumstances in your life, don't you be bagged down and cowering out saying, no, God, you're bigger than this. We can handle this situation, this condition. Yes, he messed up, she messed up, they messed up, whatever they did. But God, we're going to handle this mess. We're going to handle this situation. We're going to come out of this situation on top. See, that's where you got to learn to talk and speak and stop looking at that situation and telling the mountain about God. Tell God, telling the mountain about God, but tell God about that mountain and get rid of it. Just complain about your situation. Stop complaining. You ain't going through nothing anybody else ain't going through. You just got to go through it. It's your turn now. That's right. Shine going through it. Laugh going through it. Hallelujah. Laughter keep from crying. Look at verse 13. I'm trying to get there. Who had delivered us. Listen. Transformation. Supernatural transformation. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Into the kingdom of his dear son. He delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and has translated into the kingdom of his dear son. This is so powerful. Because in supernatural transformation, you may not know it yet, but you are a miracle. You have had one of the biggest transformations that happened to you that man could ever experience. Has already happened to you. You have been translated from the kingdom of darkness, Satan's domain, Satan's rule, Satan's world system, to God's system of his dear son. When you became born again and received Jesus Christ as Lord, that was the greatest transformation any man could ever go through. It was your transformation. It was your new birth that birthed you over from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. When you and I was in the kingdom of darkness, under Satan's domain, under Satan's rule, we had every right to die and go to hell. To be broke, to be disgusted, to be frustrated with life, all this stuff is over in the kingdom of darkness. But now that we've been translated to the kingdom of light of his dear son, now we have the God ability to think like God. To think like God. We're in the kingdom of his dear son in light. Light revelation. Light is truth. Life is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Light is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. That's what light is. God says you have been translated into the light. Now you're over in a family that don't complain. But endures. You're now in a family that don't complain, we just endure. Because we know something. We know Romans 8:28. All things work together for our good. Because we love God. And we've been called according to his purpose. So whatever I'm going through in this earth realm, it's because the devil don't like me and he recognized I'm not one of his. So he has to oppose everything I stand for. And that's called warfare. So you're wondering why I keep going through what I go through. Why I keep bumping up against a wall. Why? Because God has designed it so in order for you to move into the supernatural, God got to keep walls up for you to keep knocking them down. Because that's the only way you know who you are. You're only at your best when there's a fight going on. If you really want to see a Christian, stand up. Get his back against a wall. Let three armies come up against him. Let some folks come against his finances, come against his body, or come against his family, or come against his ministry. Watch him go to warfare. Why God wants you in warfare? Because only in warfare I get the spoil. I get a promotion. God is trying to take us from faith to faith, glory to glory, but you can't go there unless you're a conqueror. So God allowed problem hit my marriage, God said conquer it. Problem hit your finance, God said conquer it. Problem hit your children, God said conquer it. It's not time to cry. It's not time to throw in the towel. It's not time to have a pity party. God says conquer that. Why? Because you're light in the midst of darkness, and darkness cannot stay where light is. The problem is we got our candles or our lamps down too low. Our candles are too low. Our worship is too silent. We're not loud enough. We're not radical enough. You see, God is looking for a finishing generation that's radical. Of people who know who they are and don't mind making some noise and drawing some attention. That's what he's looking for. That's why this world is constantly moving so fast in front of us and we're playing catch up with it because, in fact, they don't mind being radical. They don't mind being loud and drawing attention. They even draw Christians' attention. And some Christians go participate because they're so loud. You know, but that's what we got to learn to do in the body of Christ is, if we're going to bring light to this darkness that's in this world today, then we got to make some noise. When God wanted victory over Jericho, he told him, said, listen, y'all need to make some noise. But don't do it till the 7th day. Just walk around this wall 7 days. On the 7th day, I want you to do it 7 times. Because 7 is the number of completion or perfection. He said, when we get on the 7th time and we get back to the front gate the 7th time, he said, then I want you to shout and blow some trumpets. I want you to shout. And the Bible said when they shouted, the wall came down. Supernatural. So, Pastor, you're telling me when my husband is acting a donkey and my wife is having a cow, you're telling me don't get mad with them? Absolutely. Don't get in a fuss with them. Don't get in a fight with them to get to their level. What you got to learn to do is go in your prayer closet. Spend time talking to the Lord and walking in your bedroom praising God. Walk through your house giving God some glory, giving God some praise. It's hard for the kingdom of darkness to fight the kingdom of light. Because what just showed up in him and in her is nothing but a spirit. So you got to stop thinking you're fighting a flesh battle. You're not fighting flesh battle. These are spirits showing up. Spirits of confusion. Spirits are bringing depression. Spirits want to bring division and separation in your house. You got to learn how to fight a spiritual warfare and say, devil, you're not going to win this. So when they're fussing, you just lift your hands up and start praising God. Thanking Jesus. Now, he doesn't think you done lost your mind. You done gone stone off the wall. But the idea is he can't handle your spirit. See, what's happening, you're allowing God on the inside to become God on the outside of you and showing him, you can't handle this. I'm not going to give you flesh for flesh. I'm giving you spirit for spirit. Because what's happening to you is a spirit confusing you. It's a spirit bringing this confusion in this house. A division in the house. You got to understand that. So God has transformed me into the spirit of his dear son, into the kingdom of light. So now I got to stop acting like a kingdom of darkness I came out of with skillets and pots and knives and guns. See, that's the kingdom of darkness. That's how y'all fight over there. Now, if you're in here and you're doing that to your mate, doing that to your husband, manipulation, playing mind games, that's satanic. That's out of the kingdom of darkness. That's not God. God's a God of peace, baby. God's a God of righteousness. God's a God of love. So when we fight from the spirit world. We fight from the spirit world. They say something you don't agree with, they say, okay, well, praise the Lord. We'll see. Ain't no fuss. What we fussing for? I'm not gonna, the Bible says if you answer fool in his folly, you're a greater fool. See, you got to learn to discern the spirit that's happening in this realm. So now watch this. My closing statement, watch this, man. This is powerful. Oh, you're going to love this. It's going to change your house today. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Man, this is so powerful. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Let me get there. That's where I want to go. I said 2 Corinthians 5:7. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Watch this, Revelation. You got to see this in the spirit. Man of God, you got to see this in the spirit. Stop trying to act according to your flesh and start obeying your spirit. Change comes supernatural. It's supernatural change in your house. Stop operating out of your flesh and operate out of your spirit. Are you there? He says, therefore, if any man be where? He is a new what? All things. Behold, all things. Now, that is such a profound revelation that the Apostle Paul gave us about our new position in Christ Jesus. Now, he told me, he said, I've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Now he tells me to the Corinthian church, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. He is a new creation. He is a new spirit. He is a new spirit. He's of a different mind, of a different nature. So now that I am born again into the kingdom of the dear son of light, I am a new creation. The devil has never dealt with me before. He has never seen nothing like me before. So now his plans and his strategies have to change because he never dealt with someone like me. A new creation or a new nature or a new spirit man, which the devil has never dealt with before, he don't know how to deal with it. So what do he do? He keep bringing up the old stuff. He keep bringing up the old stuff on the dead man or the old man that you used to be because he don't know how to deal with the new you. Excuse me. He don't know how to deal with the new you. He never met the new you before. The new you don't have nothing on you. Because the new you don't even have a past. It just got born again. It just showed up. So So what the devil does is he keeps for all familiar people around you to remind you who you used to be. That's why you can't change around old friends. You got to move out from where you used to be and go to where God called you to be. If you keep hanging around old stuff, it can remind you of who you used to be. You got to make the transition with the move from the old man to the new man, to the new creation who has no past. So what the enemy does is he fights us in this. He fights us in it. He keep bringing up old stuff, old issues from the past. Majority of your arguments about stuff that's past. That's all you know. What's past? You don't know what's the future. You only know what's past. So when you bring up confusion in relationship, it always comes from something we've done in our past. That's what it keeps showing up from. We argue about our past. Instead of moving into our new day, in our new moment of our spirit man, and enjoying the eternal moment that we have here on this earth. It's an eternal moment. What God is doing right now. What God has designed our future to be. And so instead of us talking about our future, we talk about our past. And God's trying to get you away from your past because that ain't you. Listen, look what God does. The Bible said God forgives our sin and he cast it in a sea of forgetfulness. He cast it in a sea of forgiveness. So God said when you repent of your sins, I put it over in the sea of forgiveness and I don't even know it happened. And here you go to God. God, you're a born-again Christian, a brand-new spirit, and you're going to God talking about your weaknesses. God said a new man don't have any. You go to God whining. God said, baby, I don't even remember that. And so your cousin are talking about what we used to do and how we used to hang out and what clubs we used to go to. You got to say, baby, I don't remember that. You remember when we used to go down to the spot? You remember when we used to go across the river when it closed on this side? We left Dustin's and Arthur's and all these other places. We went to these places. You remember? No, I don't. I don't remember that. Because God got rid of it in the sea of forgetfulness. God don't remember it, so why don't let you bring it up? You got to watch out for all these meetings at those houses talking about the old days. And you jump right in the comments and say, you're born again, Christian. You jump right in the comments and say, God, we showed you to do that thing, didn't it? No, you got to say, oh, I don't remember that. Why? Because the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He the one keep bringing up my past when God said I don't have one. See, we don't realize how damaging it is when our kids sit around us and we're talking about our past. And then they grow up trying to imitate us, what we used to be, when they wasn't even here. Know why? Because you motivate them with your talking. It sounds exciting, man. I'm going to do that. And they wind up trying to do what we did in our past life. And that's all people are doing. Every day, just new people, same game, just new people. And they still getting the same results we got. Babies we didn't plan on, men we didn't marry, and women we didn't marry. Why? Because we was out there in the street playing the same game our mama and them played. And our daddy and them played. and thought we were going to get a different result. No, the same result is still the same. The wages of sin is still death. It ain't changing. It's not changing. So you got to learn to train your kids how to walk in this new man, in this new nature, or who they really are. And stop telling them about your past. Stop telling them about your past. They don't need to know about that. Not for imitating it. You're going to hurt them like that. Okay? That was my last statement, wasn't it? I'm trying to tell the truth. But see, you have to understand, it's so much to this. It's so much to this when I learn to act like God. See, that was a bracelet they printed out years ago. It says, "What would Jesus do?" You remember those type of things, those statement t-shirts and everything they started making? What would Jesus do in this situation? That's what you and I live at every day. What would God do in these situations? I need to act just like God. I need to think just like God. What do I say to trouble? Be thou removed. What do I say to sickness and disease? Be healed in Jesus' name. What do I say lacking to poverty? Prosperity come. It's not, because poverty is not the will of God. You see, you got to start talking what God talks and stop talking all this world stuff, because everything that come out of my mouth get created. Everything God wanted, he had to say it. Everything he wanted, he said it. Why? Because he realized nothing could get created without me speaking. So if I'm talking about my past, I'm recreating a memory and giving the devil a hole, a door to come and attack my life with. So I got to always speak life to my life. Make a note of that. Speak life to your life. You got to speak life to your life. Stop speaking death to your life. Amen. Nothing never work out for me. No, you speaking death. You got to say all things going to work for my good. You got to start saying I'm blessed and highly favored. Nothing good, nothing but good come to my life every day. See, you got to learn to talk this stuff, man. You got to get this thing in your spirit, because if you don't, you're going to die in the situation you're in because you're speaking stuff out of your mouth that's creating whatever you're saying. Death and life is in the power of my tongue. So if I speak life, then life going to show up. If I speak death, then death going to show up. That's how it works. Being in a new creation, the new creature in Christ Jesus, man, I have power to speak life to my life. And even if I'm going through a divorce, even if I'm going through a separation, even if I'm facing some issue in my life, I can still have a resurrection in the midst of what I'm going through. Because this is not the end. This is not the end. I made some mistakes. We made some mistakes going through. We say some things we couldn't take back. We done some things we shouldn't have done. But guess what? Even though I go through a divorce, God, I still speak life to my life. I speak life to my life. David said, I will live and not die, but I declare the works of the Lord or the goodness of God in the earth. I'm going to declare it. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm blessed and highly favored. No weapon formed against me going to prosper. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All this stuff is working to my good. I mean, like a tornado going on, but praise the Lord, hallelujah. I magnify you, Jesus. I glorify you, Jesus. See, all that spiritual, that spiritual weapons that you're using out of your mouth to speak to your mountain in your situation, and guess what? That mountain is going to obey you. It's going to obey you. That storm is going to stop. The wind going to stop blowing. And everybody that was against you going to turn away from you. And the very people that try to hurt you going to be the same folks bless you. That's how God does it. So I'm in a supernatural realm of God, transformed into the very image of his dear son. And that scripture talks about that. We started off with our foundation scripture. It talks about that. The very image of the Son of God. So I can act, speak just like God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, so you got to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, guys. You got to read it. In Acts of the Apostles, you got to read it. You got to get in your spirit. Jesus prayed about everything, but he spoke to all things. He spoke to situations and changed them. And that's what you got to do. There are no emergencies in the spirit. You got to know you win. In every situation, you win. From faith to faith, glory to glory, we win. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, my situation is changing right now. While I'm sitting right here, it's changing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, what you going to do? Because you said changes and change to a change. What you going to do while it's changing? Be patient and long-suffering and give God some praise. Glory to God. I'm going to watch God do it. Hallelujah. That's what I'm going to do. While I'm watching it change, I'm going to sit and just praise God while I'm going through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to sing the blues. I'm not going to say nobody's seen the trouble I see. I'm not going to be saying, swing down, sweet chariot, let me ride. I'm ready to get out of here. No, baby. I'm praising Jesus in the midst of this storm because I know this storm is going to release a blessing to my life. Hallelujah. There's treasure in the storm. Glory to God. There's treasure in the storm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, man, I got some sons so highly blessed. Of the Lord, man, they blessed me every time I hear the testimonies and their witnessing of the Lord. Minister Carter wasn't here, what, last Sunday? You didn't make it last Sunday, right? That's on the Sunday you missed, was it? That's last Sunday? Last Sunday wasn't here, and so I was informed about what was going on with him and stuff, and so on my way leaving the church, me and my wife was in the car. I said, let me call Minister Carter and see how he's doing. So I called, and the wife got on the phone, said he's over here being bad, hard-headed, not listening. I said, oh, Lord. I said, well, put him on the phone, let me fuss at him then. And so she gave him the phone, and we started talking and stuff, and the Holy Spirit rose up in our spirit. My wife was on one side praying the Holy Ghost, and we started praying over and speaking the word of God over him, and God gave us a word, and God released that word to him over the phone. You know, about his situation, what was going on, because the enemy really was trying to do some harm to him. See, the devil never shows out without trying to do you some harm, because his job is to kill, steal, and destroy. So he was getting ready to attack his body with some sickness, some infirmity, you know, all in his eye. You know, his eye was swelling up, you know. They call it shingles. Shingles in the eye. You know, so that can cause blindness. That can cause blindness. The devil really was trying to blind him. You know, so we called and talked to him. We prayed about him. And God told him that all was well. He was being healed. And God told him he wasn't eating. God said, for the day is over, you're going to be eating and everything else. And everything will be gone. You know, and stuff like that. And so he texted me back the very next day. I think it was the next day he texted me back. He said, and he had gone to a couple of hospitals, one of the doctors and stuff and so on, all that kind of stuff. And he says, Pastor, after you prayed for me and all this stuff, he said, I hadn't eaten since a certain time. I lost almost, what, 12 or more? How many pounds you lost? 232 to 208. In a couple of days, he had lost that weight. He hadn't been eating and stuff like that. So I said, man, look, for the sun go down, you're going to be eating and everything else, and your vision going to be okay. Don't even worry about it. No, the Lord spoke to him. And I feel out of my spirit. It just left with my spirit to tell him, you know. And so we went on and ate and everything and rejoiced. And he texted me back and said, Pastor, you know what? When you prayed for me, I started eating. My swelling on my eye went down, you know, and everything else. So he went to the doctor. And the doctor told him, and a couple of days later, he texted me back and said, the doctor, went to the next day. Went to the doctor the next day. And the doctor told him and said, listen, He said, because they told him the shingle was in his eye. The doctor said he saw it. And so the next doctor he went to the next day, looked at it and said, I see what something was, but ain't nothing there now. Come on. I saw what something was, but ain't nothing there now. He said, I'll come back in 2 weeks and we'll talk about it. Look, give you a thorough check over. You see, God does that. God does that. Why? Because we're not living according to our old man or our flesh. We're living according to our new creation. See, that came out of our new creation. The devil wants you sick and diseased and broken and poverty and all screwed up in the head and your emotion. But God said, that's not my will for you. That's not my will for you. And so that's just another example of God's goodness, of what God can do if you trust him and stay connected. And stay connected. Another example of God's goodness. You know, and God can heal anybody from anything according to his will. According to his will. Hallelujah. So I tell you, man, you need to stay connected. And he said, man, I thank God for your elected position and your place in God. That could have caused him total blindness. Because it's connection. Connection is everything, man. I didn't do it. God did it. But connection is everything. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't you be glad to stay connected to somebody that can pray for you? Get a hold of heaven for you and cause a supernatural miracle to take place? That was a devil meant for your harm, God turned to your good? Man, you got to stay close. You got to stay close so God can do this thing. Hallelujah. It's supernatural. Well, glory to God. Father, I praise you. I magnify you for this people that is in this place. I know there's great things happening. Even in the time of having trials and tribulations and challenges in life, you yet shows up. And you shows out. You show yourself strong. In the midst of every adversity, in the midst of every storm that you allow us to go through, it's because you have a divine plan to bring us into a divine position. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the storm. I thank you for the trial. Because it's in your plan to bring me to that place. You said you allowed them to ride over us. But you brought us out into a large open room. A wealthy place. I thank you, Father. That although it may look like I'm last, but I'm really first. You're bringing us out to a place of debt freeness, a place we have no pain in our body, but we're healed, we're set free, and we're delivered in the name of Jesus. Now, God, I speak blessings over these families, over these houses represented by mom or by dad or by grandmother or grandfather. I speak blessing over them that nothing but good should come to them every day, that your choice and your best blessing shall be theirs. Lord God, going out and coming in, you shall cause blessing to overtake them as they obey your word. Their children's children shall be blessed by you. I speak blessing on the unborn child that shall come forth in days to come. But God, you shall cause blessings to be upon that child. Yes, I speak blessing upon the children's church and all those children, that they become arrows in your bow, that you will aim them to the target and the destiny which you have designed for their life. In the name of Jesus. Bless them, God. Show them your favor. May they never leave your house. May they never leave your worship. May they forever be in the presence of the Almighty God. God, I thank you for them. I bless you for them in Jesus' name. And God, we thank you, Lord, that we've seen our last broke day and all good should come to us in Jesus' mighty name. And the body of Christ says amen, amen, and amen, amen.